What is it that we have been doing? of that up until 2011, 2012, and you will see a share roughly of that is when the Taco Act was displaced by the Income Tax Act, we needed to make a change, you know, which we did. We developed a revised policy. Now, maybe I should at this point, before I continue, we have given to all the members, you know, a few publications so that they can have a sense of the history. So, Chair, continue with our colloquium that we had on the initial trial learning for the upgrading our team of teachers in South Africa. We then have got the National Conference of RPL, which we call Bridging and Expanding Existing Islands of Practice towards, you know, a system. And that was in February 2011. Chair, we've also included in the pack there is a revised national policy for the implementation of recognition of prior learning. So in other words, in terms of the mandate, you know, we have done so. We have also included in the policy for case accumulation and transfer. So that is in. And then a resolution and working document and RPL chair. But this resolution does, it takes stock of where we're at for the knowledge that the industry is to, and moving forward in that, you know, has informed, you know, the plan that has been put forward. Then, Chair, we also got this one-page document where one can literally, if one goes through it, you can get a clear sense of what was achieved, you know, what had happened, and where we are, this region in 2014. So, this is really just the National Qualifications Framework and the Free Quality Council that is working with us to do this report. So, I thought that would be useful for members, and they can read through the detail at their own leisure. So, Chair, when you launch the revised interest policy, this document, in 2014-15, we were saying that in terms of, if I think about a 5-year process, that we will launch and advocate the revised RPL policy during 16-17, that we will try to deepen the understanding of RPL. In 2017-18, you know, there needs to be a focus on the professional development of practitioners and RPL practices. And then in 2019, that we do, you know, in a way, establish the national systems that we were talking about, that we need to, you know, that we need to put in place. That will really place us, you know, amongst, you know, the leaders in the world in terms of this particular area. Chair, we have divided SACO's work into three parts. The first one is that, you know, we were saying that we need to do research on RPL. And so there's been a number of publications that we have developed. Also, Chair, we have entered into a partnership with the University of the Western Cape. And in fact, in this year, I think it's September, October, there is a publication that the HSRC will be publishing on the research work that is underscoring the policy and the practices that we've implemented in South Africa. Then the RPL policy development change, you would see there that initially under the FAPA Act, there was an existing policy between 2002 and 2003. Then we developed this new revised policy that you've got in your possession, Chair. And then the Department of Education developed the policy, and I think Dr. Tishi has made it available, you know, to members. That is the RPL policy on coordination that the DNET developed. And I will speak a little bit about that a little bit later on. Chair, we also, the third area to use was RPL coordination. Now, as you can see from the mandate, real mandate is really about policy development and so on. And, you know, coordinating, you know, with our quality council. So, And you would see there, Chair, that we have done a number of strategic on-field projects so that we can, you know, make sure that the system is, you know, activity happening in the system. We also have, SACRA has supported the RPL, the Ministry of RPL, the task team. I was sitting on the task team myself, and we did a number of other work. In fact, the RPL task team has done its work, and the policy that the department has published now is part of the fruits of that work of the task team. Then, Chair, we've got a small group of people that we've set up in SACRA. It's called the Income Advisory Service Group. So, members of the public, if they want to be interested in RPL, we can phone in, and we are able to assist them and on. In addition to that, we've got information on our website. There's also an internet website that the RPL portal. So that is the kind of overall activities that we've kept up earlier with. In addition to that, Chair, we've also made sure that part of you know, SACRA being the EFF organization within the EFF family, that the three quality council, each one of them has now developed, you know, RPL policies for their specific sector or sub-framework, and they are in the process, you know, of implementing that. So that is really by way of background check. I'm just going to invite you to finish the whole thing and then people can ask. So, then, what are the key lessons that we've learned? And I'm going to try and do that. Chair, in fact, that there are many drivers for RPL. And I'm just going to mention one or two. And that is, on the one hand, it's about redress, because under the apartheid system, there were many people that were denied you know, access and so on, and they've learned quite a number of things, and so that is one of the drivers. The other one is questions about articulation, access, and so on. We also would then share that one of the key issues is the issue about effective delivery. So the challenge that we do have is the effective delivery challenge. And in fact, to ensure that, you know, if we want to work towards the system. The third one is the issue about quality assurance, that the quality sometimes of what gets presented is not the best in the world, and so we need to make sure, and we need to make systems in place to ensure that quality improves. Chairperson, then the question about the system, we said we need to make sure that there's a system that people can go to when they would like to be eligible for recognition priority, that they must be able to go to a provider that would be able to do so. So we need to make sure that the system is set up in the most appropriate way, including, Chair, that, you know, we are talking here about adults, you know, in particular adults that have been deprived and so on. So, Chair, this is a specialized thing. You actually need professionals that would be able to do this. It's not the kind of a quick and dirty thing. So one needs to have specialized staff, you know, to deal with this matter. And then, Chair, the basic question. You have dealt with issues about funding earlier in terms of university and this work. Chair, the system is not going to work unless there is funding. Now, I don't think we will get people that will toy in the streets or whatever when it comes to recognition of private learning. And there must be ways in which one can actually deal with those, with that kind of group of people that share. And if there's other ways and so on. So the issue of resourcing is a critical part of that. We might have the resourcing to be able to set up the system. Policy priorities is effective delivery, resourcing, quality assurance, and national coordination. Now, I think with the department, the policy that the minister has issued, in fact, they do take care of national coordination within that, and also the questions about funding is is beginning to be addressed in that document. Just in terms of quickly sharing some of the achievements, there was a ministerial Arthur task team, that was driving particular things and so on. As I said, TAPO has a policy that we have developed, and then the ministers asked their policy on coordination. We have been involved in doing a number of strategic national RFL cases, and there's a whole number of them here. I know you are, we've got a time constraint, and hence I'm not ready to go into quite a lot of detail around that. Suffice to say, I just want to give you one example. Our athletes competed now in the Rio Olympics between, now 2016. A few years ago, we worked with SASCOC to establish an RFL project, particularly for coaches, people that have been coaching for many, many years in the community and so on, to be able to set up a process and a program with them so that, some of the coaches that they have would be recognized. That's one example. There are many others that we've been involved in. We also, there are the teachers, there are particular targets and so on that have been set for them that they need to make sure that that learners that RFL is indeed the case. There are over 100 plus providers at the moment around the net. There are also particular kinds of RPLs, and I'll talk about numbers. We've also established a network of people, and you would see when you go through those the articles and so on, the different papers and so on that people have developed and so on. And I think all of that has been established really from the airplane. This document outlines the policies, it's the RPL policy, the CAT policy, and the assessment policy. That is their shared system. Also, there is a system of collaboration that has been established between the departments, SAPA and the Quality Council, and then you have us what is called the NPF implementation framework, which is a roadmap for how we need to implement the NPF going forward. The other thing I should also say, that when one looks at this, we also have a policy for professional bodies and professional designations now. And this is also something that is not often in other countries, where even a professional body would like to recognize myself, and they want to register their professional designation from the NPF, they must allow for people to be able to get those designations through RPL as well. So that is one of the requirements that has been put in place. So at the policy level, if people want to have their qualifications and part qualifications registered, they also want to make sure that people are able to get that via RFL. So at a policy level, I think we have really covered the whole terrain as well. And as I said, the key challenge is the challenge of our implementation. Presently, chairperson is about 28,696 qualifications that have been achieved through RPL, so we did not put that in that list. Then the kind of areas, the top three areas where these things have been happening is in the organizing field called manufacturing, engineering, and technology. 36% of RPL cases are in that area. Number two is business, commerce, and management studies, 20%. And number three is physical planning and construction, 17%. In terms of the way forward is shared, it is about implementation. It is also about coordinating, and the minister's policy makes provision for a kind of coordinating mechanism, and they are in the process now of establishing a reference group from all the stakeholders. The document also clearly spells out the roles of the DHEC, SACPA, the Quality Council, providers, and professional bodies, and then also the issues of our ideas. So, Chair, then as I said, from 1996 to 2010, we had this island of good practice. From 2011 to 2014, we had a number of strategic national tests. From 2014 onwards, you know, NAPWA kind of played a role of coordination, trying to get the data together directly with the field organization, making sure that the quality council that was policies in place. The quality council, in turn, they've got RPL policies now, they have implementation plans and so on, and also we are trying to get people to report in a kind of coordinated way. This slide outlines the role of a coordinating mechanism, but I'm not referring to detail around that. I share the document that you have received from Dr. Shishi in an outline, and I'm sure that you know, you will deal with that to a large extent. This outlines the responsibilities of a coordinating mechanism, as I said, I'm not going to go into detail. So, Shay, in terms of what the policy is saying and what we must do going forward, because the policy was just published earlier this year, is that what we would have to do is we would have to take the policy that we've developed and make sure that we align the policy to the minister's policy. We need to make sure that we provide leadership to the quality council for implementation. Particularly, the quality council, you know, where a lot of the stuff is in the quality council for training occupations in both places. We also propose to advise and support a coordinating mechanism that will be set up by the department. And we must make sure that we conduct sector-wide feasibility studies in terms of the quality assurance of RPL. We must also now actively make sure that all the RPL data is uploaded onto our national learner sector database and ensure that quality council certification policy development and implementation as well. Now, what we've done so far, Chair, because one of the problems that we've got with RPL also is that people are still, there's still a stigma attached to it. If you are saying I got this thing from RPL, then people think, no, you know, you haven't spent all the time of the year and so on. And so there is, you know, there's this kind of stigma that's still attached, you know, to that. And we have to try to change that. And so what we've been saying is that you know, you shouldn't tell how many certificates the person got the qualification to RPL. You know, you will just see that the person has achieved the qualification and it's worth. But from a reporting perspective, it's quite important that we also know, you know, what the situation is. So we're trying to walk that very balance. Chairperson, this outlines the responsibilities of the quality council in terms of the policy, and it includes that each of the quality councils must have a sub-framework RPL policy. And this is quite important because our education is different from the workplace, it's different from general basic education, so those policies must be developed in these sub-frameworks. They must also ensure providing implementation and support, the issues about certification, and then of course we must advocate RPL so that people can understand what it is and what it is not. And then they must also give proper support. It also outlines what the responsibility of providers, that there must be institutional RPL policies, that there should be an institutional RPL forum, and that, you know, that's the implementation of quality reporting, and that we need to work together with the coordinating mechanism, ourselves and the quality council. Shared with regards to funding, at the moment is, you know, no new funding contributions from the fiscus. The idea that whatever money there is, you know, people want to use that optimally. But there's also a realization that there should be additional funds that must be sought. And of course, you know, where the funding must go to is quite important. Through this coordinating mechanism, we must ensure that it is funded. Also, in fact, in terms of the work that SACWA needs to do, needs to be properly funded and the quality council, as well as, you know, providers, because you need to have the incentives and stuff that you put in place, you know, for people to do it. And as I said, it's a specialized function, so we can't expect miracles to happen without at least, you know, the support seen you, and we have a number of articles, subject cases that we will be publishing, and we will be now assisting with a few seasons of the foreign market plan so that that can be finalized. We'll make sure that we get progress support, we'll make sure that we get more data, and we will support the setting up of the good net indicators. Share it before at this point, and if there's a few minutes, then I would like to, you know, to at least show you a little bit of the video that we have prepared today. If you can't, then I mean, you can certainly, you know, see the link if people can watch it. Yes, you can.
Of the portfolio committee. So the nature clear to us, honorable member, that over the many years since the establishment of SACWA, we had a huge issue of accountability. And therefore the minister can't monitor the work of SACWA in the QCs only on the basis of guidelines. And therefore the minister has then developed a policy. And this is the policy which in March this year has been published, and our request is that we present that policy at an appropriate time to indicate how the minister is going to coordinate all of this work, because SACWA is not just responsible for university education and qualifications in that space, but SACWA is also responsible for quality assurance of basic education, is also responsible for quality assurance of trades and occupations. I wish to indicate that one of the milestones since the advent of our democracy has been the establishment of the Quality Council for Trade and Occupation, which is hardly 2 years old. This has closed the space which existed in the past, whereas you had Umarusi as the Quality Council for Basic Education, and you had CHT as the Quality Council for Higher Education. But a lot of work that was taking place in the space of trade and occupation did not have a mechanism for quality assurance. And the fact that we have now that mechanism in place means that the minister has completed in ensuring that quality assurance is established for all qualifications, and therefore we have a mechanism in place to promote lifelong learning and development. At the opportunity that will be provided to us by the Honorable Chairperson and the Department of Higher Education and Training, we will be presenting how, for example, at the Department of Higher Education and Training, we develop a national strategy for the wider scale implementation of RPL in post-school sector to try and indicate how the articulation of qualifications in the trade environment, in the occupational environment, in higher education and basic education is done. So advice on personnel training and quality requirements of the national RPL strategy. Advice on the legislative requirements for implementation of the national strategy. Advice on the result implications of the national strategy. I think that's the key area which will constitute our presentation, because our view, Chair, is that one of our challenges, major challenges of SACWA, is the implementation of all the policies that they have developed. And some of the policies that quite countless has developed. For example, each institution by law is supposed to develop RPL policies that are coordinated by quality councils. And to monitor this require resources at the disposal of SACWA and the QCs, as well as the national mechanism for coordination. And that has been the problem. And I think our main challenge is one of higher education training would be to provide the committee with an indication of how we're going to ensure that such resources are available and account on existing resources in terms of how we are moving towards ensuring that we promote as a sector, as the post-school sector, the life of learning and development. Thank you, Chair.
Via the
representation also. I like to welcome the police of RTM, more especially because it recognizes the common learning that our learners in the different ages have already acquired. Some they have experienced in their workplaces, some in their workplaces they for disqualifications, but they are no more relevant for the terms of national and international comparable law. My question is, I just want to check whether the issue of accidents have already been recognized here, because we are in this decade of accidents. And then again, to check how many are already being accredited up to now. Those that are in the working places and their qualifications are no more relevant. And then have they been also being accredited? How many are they? that Sakako needs to do so. We do have structures, Honorable Chair, in place for ensuring that this is done. For example, there are interdepartmental committees that exist which ensure that government departments that account in terms of how they implement the MQF. There is the MQF forum chaired by the Director General for Higher Education and Training, together with the CEO of SACWA, which ensures that there is a proper coordination of all of this. And then the CEO's committee that is chaired by the CEO of SACWA, where all role players, present their issues and the problems are identified and they are resolved. But over and above this, the guidelines, the minister that he writes and a remit to SACWA and a remit to QCTO, to Malusi and to PhD, to ensuring that quality assurance is assured. It's important to us as higher education chair that quality of achievements of our people is assured by credible institutions, because the credibility of the qualification guarantees opportunity for those young people or the elderly, everyone who's benefiting from the policy to have. And we are going to commit ourselves in ensuring that this is done. Honorable Mata advised us in terms of how to look at different dimensions in the dynamics in respect of recognition of higher learning. He advises us to create links that will support young people that are blocked, in as a result of circumstances. And he makes examples of those who might have been unemployed at a particular point and they are unable to proceed as a result of the inability to pay, and move. I think all of the initiatives, including what the minister was saying, that we are looking at higher education as a solution which is like a post-school solution, instead of just looking at one particular sector. I was here, chairperson, and now in the last PC, when one of the members of the particular committee, even made suggestions that we should consider that the right sizing of higher education, so that Tibet institutions, are given the consideration that they deserve. We are saying the minister has ensured that all Tibet providers have a particular home for quality assurance, which is the KCTO, in place, which therefore means all those South Africans that are out there, in need of opportunity, now have a particular place where they can submit themselves for assessments of their, informal learning, so that such credits can assist them to articulate within the system. Such credits are portable. They can move from one institution to the other. They can move from training to education, and in that way promote, lifelong learning development in the whole system. Our big challenge, the elephant in the room, is funding. And that is what Honorable Kuhn has asked us to do when we come to present ourselves here, to indicate clearly how we are going to make sure that we implement the guidelines that the minister has put in place and the policies that we put in place. And our commitment is to ensure that we do that.
Thank you very much, Chair. let me start with a general comment that I painted a kind of picture about where we were, and that, it is not that nothing is happening. So if that is the impression, I would like to say that I'm a very bad communicator, because I said clearly that there's a lot that's been happening, like that's where we were in terms of the world, and we are just run away from where other countries have been, and they've been in this business longer than ourselves. So we are not doing badly, Chair. I think we're doing well. And the kind of strategies and themselves, and then there are different ways in which they are assessed. Because the key thing about RPL is not that you say, I got the experience and everything. You know, there might be an assessment. And when I say an assessment, it doesn't mean a test. It doesn't mean that you have a system in right. In all cases, in some cases, yes, in other cases, not. And that's why I talk about assessment in general, that people can present a portfolio of evidence or whatever the case might be. So we have different forms of assessment. The particular question about you'd be talking about smarter than. So, you know, so what would happen typically, in fact, is that the answer then, you know, will come and say, look, I've got the following things and so on, and the person will then be assessed to see whether the person has got both the practical skills as well as the knowledge. And then, you know, one of the requirements, in fact, is that people must be able to do the kind of test that they get, like the trade test, you know, that gets done. And that is a key requirement for a person to be competent. So I want to stress, you know, it is about showing that you're competent. Then the question about numbers, I don't have the specific things for planners and for, you know, all these various ones, but what I can say, and I'm very happy to get back to the committee in terms of those specifics. But one of the projects that we had with the National Armament Moderating Body, there are about 30 RTL pilot projects, you know, that they've been involved in. And in fact, the estimation was that, you know, in terms of that project at the moment, there's something like 10,000 candidates that is in those projects. Previously, there was a huge project that was funded through the European Union, particularly when it comes to voters and those kinds of people and so on. And large numbers of people have gone through that process again, you know, it happened some time ago. And as Dr. Shishi rightly points out, you know, resourcing is quite an important part of it. So the resources have been dried up. You know, that, you know, the life thing becomes a bit more difficult. Chairperson, also, you know, I think members of the portfolio committee would know that with the Fire Act, for example, you know, the financial fair and fitness scheme and so on, that in particular the financial advisors went through a huge RPL process. In fact, I think it was in the tens of thousands of people that went through you know, that particular process. So there's quite a lot of those kinds of stuff that has been happening. So I think I will get back to numbers. Then the question about the issue about thesis. In fact, thesis have set up certain systems and projects over the many years. We did a study, and again, I mean, I didn't bring all those numbers with me, but I can certainly let members have the specific numbers in terms of that. The questions about articulation, I think it's an important thing in RPL, you know, can, together with careers and accumulation and transfer, can play a role, you know, in terms of that. And I think I would also like to agree that the specific training in terms of a specific discipline or the knowledge and skill that people have, if you then say that person must become an entrepreneur, that can be a different thing. In fact, with a services teacher a few years ago, you know, there was a whole RPL process in terms of, developing entrepreneurial skills on one end, but also recognizing, you know, those people who already, you know, have been displaying those entrepreneurial skills. So, Chair, that is the answer I can give in general, but the more specific numbers and so on, I'm really happy to pass on to the committee.
Members, I have a couple of questions that have been answered. If that is the case, then allow me to thank both for some of them are nearly a year old.
Okay.
Yes. So, Honorable Kazori, are you moving them all in one go? Oh, you're just happy it's here now. Oh, okay. Honorable Mtuzo?
Thank you.
missing here and the end missing there, which I can easily handle to start, because it's not really needed for this committee to go through each and move the comments or hear the general update of the committee meeting. Very small things that are not substantial. So would it be okay with you if those things are just treated as something to be handled to the staff to correct without going through each one?
See the members,
see
the members are shaking their head.
Nodding. Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay, thank you. And then my second comment is, do we have matters arising scheduled ever? Because whenever we approve our report, we don't, you know, there should be matters arising, because at the end of each report, we make recommendations. And I'm looking at some of these reports which I say are nearly a year old, and not all of those recommendations have been followed, including things like asking people who've come to meetings with us to send us documents. Not all of them have been sent. And so we do need a little matter of the rising section to go through those recommendations in each report to find out to what extent those recommendations have been dealt with, and to have a report back from perhaps staff or whoever as to what happens to our recommendations. Otherwise, all this work that we put in is completely wasted because the recommendations are never followed up on. So that's my second comment. And then my third comment is, on the visit to Stellenbosch University, the oversight of the description on page 1, where it says the oversight of the full grant for portfolio committee's in-year monitoring of the public school education and training institution to monitor the institution on their government administration, financial management, and progress with regard to the implementation of government policies relating to the sector. Okay, those are my two comments. Follow up on the recommendation and small grammatical mistakes. Thank you.
Any other comments? Other board members, I'm going to come back again.
Sure. Well, I would just to say we agree, but as long as we choose to have our own conversation, they are fine. We will change the content, but any recommendation needs to come to us.
Yes, I agree with the two corrections or comments that Honorable Hossein is making, but the other way without makeup alignment is that if, for example, there's an oversight and we've made recommendations and we realize that those recommendations will not get enjoyed from those recommendations. We can either call the entity involved and say, come and give us a presentation, or we can call the university, we can make a suggestion outside metatarize. It's not that I know one to put metatarize, especially with the experience of the French, or with things like whatever, with metatarize. So the way to shorten that would be if we feel that the matter that we want to take up further, we can as a committee ask those people, the mentees or whatever, we can put it on the agenda and take it further. With that comment, outside as we have talked, I actually want to propose adoption.
So, honourable members, I do have agreed that, yes, we must receive those grammatical and so on errors if they are of a substantive nature, then this needs to come back to the committee. I think, secondly, on the issue of the committee's recommendations and matters arising, or whatever we want to call it,
of a report. That report then goes, in our instance, to the National Assembly. And when the National Assembly adopts that report, then the Speaker sends the report to the relevant ministers for them to do something about the recommendations that the committee has made. That's sort of what the rules say, and I'm not saying it verbatim now. So of course that's a key thing in following and checking our oversight to make sure that we get a response from them. But I think there's nothing wrong for us to ourselves also say, if we have taken a decision to get all the relevant documentation, even if we just listen to what happened here, there's nothing wrong for us to come back here and just give a report to the members on what are those decisions that we have taken. And we can call it by whatever name, but they will still be issues that arose out of the decisions of the meeting. So I think we managed that. The other fear that Honourable Tikana said, and that is matters arising in the branches, showing it first to the ANC branches, some of them, can take forever and so on. And so we will just, we will make sure that the fear that he has does not creep into that important oversight function that we have also. Honourable members, Honourable Ikana has moved, and I now seek a consensus seconder, Honourable Kasori.
Thank you very much. I also agree with you about that, and I'm going to just of a way of getting the recommendations in front of us. If you look here, these are, I think there are five reports here, thick reports, which I have completely forgotten, to be honest, what our recommendations were. I mean, this was like 9 months ago or something. We are never really reminded of what our recommendations were. So I'm trying to think of a way in which the committee can be reminded, maybe through a running list of recommendations that is submitted at meetings, so that we can constantly be reminded these are our recommendations. And then we can remember what they were, and then individual members can take them up. We don't have to go through the list each time, it can just be their appendix to our agenda or something, list of running recommendations that have not yet been implemented. And then we know what's going on. Really, the recommendations, as far as we're concerned, quite hard, because they're going to thin air. Especially if it takes 9 months to approve the report, and then it only goes to the National Assembly after that. So I do think we need a little bit more rigor in how we treat our recommendations. But I do take the point about that as a writer. You don't want to, in a tedious way, go through every recommendation every time or anything like that. Only if we get a running list of all the recommendations we've made and that have not yet been reached,
which he has agreed that we need to do that.
A running list.
He's agreed that we must manage that, and he's just made us just fearing that we shouldn't do what he's wrong.
I'm happy to not follow the example of Honourable Kakana's awful sounding branches. I think we need another measure as well as following Honourable Kakana's recommendation.
So Honourable Kakana, thank you to second the Honourable Kakana. Honourable Mata.
And you know that you can't support a report.
vulnerable each other and move and, you know, our vulnerable button in good ways. Do you have any difficulties with this people? Yes, yes, you must. I said you. And yes, 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 and I.
Their certificates, what a payment plan on how they're going to pay that, it is.
this is a practical solution if they come to win the fact. And I do remember there was a representative of the department that was present as well.
Our concern as a committee was to say we are one Thank you.